lovely foliage. And the only thing that's nicer than when God paints lovely colors on the trees around about us is what he does in your lovely faces and lives, is giving you to be more and more like his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing. He's reproducing the Lord Jesus in your redeemed humanity. What a joy it is to see him, as I say, transforming his first creation and changing and making it beautiful, and the flowering time and then the foliage time. And that's what he's doing in the lives of believers, a second creation, a new creation, the redeemed creation. And it's wonderful to see more and more of the Lord Jesus in our lives, is it not? Now shall we turn to the Word of God, and let us turn to the book of Numbers, if you will, again. The book of Numbers, and in chapter 5. Remind you that there still are some outlines of the book of Numbers. We began this study last week. Outlines are still available in the foyer in one of the little pockets on the wall. So if you didn't pick one up, you may wish to do so. Now this morning, midway through the first service, my wife was detracted from what was going on, and she whispered over to me during a congregational hymn, "You have got the wrong pants on." And I'm staying close behind the pulpit more than usual this morning. As you all know, I am colorblind, among other things. I am blind, too. And I hope that I will not shock your sensitivity to proper dress and so on. However, I have the pair of pants that look to me as if they went with this jacket, and a jacket, but they are not an exact match. Now, why I'm saying that is that we are betwixt and between this morning. I mentioned to you last time that we didn't get all the way through our message last week, and on the other hand, I wanted to move on this week, but I'm not sure that we will be able to, so we have a sermon title for a new message. We're going to finish up on the old message, and we may have the pants from one message and the coat from another message. So I am in style. I want you to know that. My wife's wrong. I'm right. Okay. That's the way we usually resolve all our problems. And I always get in the last word. Yes, dear. Numbers chapter 5. Verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female shall ye put out. Without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp. So the Lord spake unto Moses, as the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel." Father, we look to you because we can look to no other for the needs of this hour. We look not to ourselves, we look not to one another, but we look to thee, the living God, the God who has been pleased to reveal himself through Holy Scripture. And we pray now that by thy Holy Spirit thou would speak to our hearts. We ask this desirous of thy blessing upon us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You will remember that we have noticed that in the beginning of the book of Numbers, as the title suggests there is a numbering of the children of Israel. A generation passes, some 38 years go by during the course of this book and a little more. And at the end of this book, there is again a numbering of the children of Israel. And from these two numberings or census takings comes the title of this book, Numbers. We have learned already that they numbered three kinds of people. They numbered, first of all, the warriors, those men from 20 years old and upward. They numbered the worshipers, Aaron and his sons, a single family. And they numbered the workers, that is, the Levites, from 1 month old and upwards, and their time of special duty from 30 years until 50 years. So there was a numbering of the warriors, of the worshipers, and the workers. Now we have already noted that although the nation of Israel was divided into these three groups of people in the numberings, today, as Christians in the Christian era, all of us are warriors. Man, woman, young man, young woman, boy or girl who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior is involved in the spiritual conflict. Because as soon as we become a Christian, Satan, the enemy of God, begins to attack us and seeks to destroy our effectiveness for God and our growth as a Christian. And so immediately we are impelled into the Christian conflict. Every believer is a warrior. We have noticed also that every believer is a worshiper. First Peter, in Peter's letter, the first letter, he tells us in chapter 2 that we are a whole nation or a kingdom or a community of priests. Not just one family, not just a clergy, but the entire company of believers are to be a worshiping people, a praising and a thankful people. Those who are extolling and magnifying God, both verbally and by their pattern of living. And then we find in the New Testament again that we are all workers. The Lord Jesus indicated in one of his statements just before he went to the cross that in leaving this earth, as he did, before he returned again, he was leaving to every one, every person, his work. And the New Testament scriptures of the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit make it quite clear that we all have different spiritual abilities. We are all functioning members like a body. We are all functioning members of the Church of Jesus Christ. So in contrast to the Old Testament, wherein there was only this group that functioned in this way, or that group that functioned in that way, all believers today are warriors. All believers are worshipers. All believers are workers. So we are all ministers. We are all priests. We are all good soldiers of Jesus Christ. It is remarkable how much of that which is called Christianity today still remains in the Old Testament as far as the outworking of the format of the Christian church is concerned. And to the degree that the church has not been emancipated from the grave clothes of Judaism and of Old Testament function, the church is cramped and does not grow and does not effectively function in the world. It was the Lord Jesus who said that new wine, the new wine of Christianity, the emancipating message of Jesus Christ, cannot be contained in old wineskins, indicating indeed that Christianity could not be cramped into nor retained within the mold of Judaism. Someone has well said, Judaism was the cradle of Christianity and almost became its grave. Fortunately, the Apostle Paul met this challenge head on, and we have such great letters which have been preserved to us as the Galatian letter in the New Testament, indicating the deliverance of Christianity from the mold of Judaism. Now we want to move on this morning. We dealt in detail last week with the fact that we are all warriors, and that we all belong, first of all, to the entire Church of Jesus Christ. We're all part of the universal church. And although we may not agree in doctrine with every other believer, on the other hand, we are called upon to keep in peace the uniting bond of the Spirit of God. That means I don't hassle with other people who don't see as I do. Now, there are many things that I find that I do not agree with in respect to other believers with whom I meet. Sometimes it's in respect to prophetic things. Sometimes it has to do with ecclesiastical things, that is, the outworking of church function. We've been talking about that somewhat just now. Sometimes, especially in these days, in respect to the spiritual gifts. And I personally am exceedingly charismatic. I believe in all of the 20 gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament, and I believe that the entire list of spiritual gifts is not listed in the New Testament. On the other hand, in identifying some of these gifts, I find differences with other believer friends, and in the fact of the particular function of them at this time. I find I'm in disagreement with some other particular Christian friends. I do not believe that the gift of apostles is a functioning gift today. I do not believe that the gift of miracles basically is a functioning gift today. I do not believe that the gift of healing, the gift of prophecy, are functioning gifts today, generally speaking. I'm not limiting God. God is very sovereign. He may raise up a prophet at any time that he pleases. But generally speaking, as I understand Scripture, and as I see what is happening today, I do not believe that this is generally taking place. So I find myself in disagreement with some other believers. Nonetheless, I am able to have a relationship with them and to live in love with my fellow believers who may disagree with me in respect to some of these matters. Now, we're all a member then of the total body of Jesus Christ. We all should be a functioning member of a local body of believers. And that is primary after recognizing your unity with the entire Church of Jesus Christ. You should be not merely an attender at a local fellowship of believers. You should be a functioning member of a local fellowship of believers. Now, I want to say that again, and I'm not saying that in any way of stepping on any toes. I am trying to clearly enunciate Scripture, and I will have you to study your New Testament clearly in this respect and see that every believer is indeed to be a functioning member of a local body of believers, and each one of us fulfilling a function within that church. Everyone a member of the body, functioning, fulfilling his ministry and function within that church. Now, beyond that, there may be and are various service organizations, Christian organizations today, and we may be able to become a functioning member of such in a particular age group, in a particular interest group, in a particular vocational group, or what have you. There are many functional Christian service bands today of which we may be a part. We also encourage within the local church, especially a large congregation such as this, that we're not only a functioning member of the church in a large way, but we also find a small group of believers with whom we can have fellowship and interaction and the support and encouragement that we need in our Christian life. So we have touched upon these things in the past. This morning, very quickly, I want to touch upon and pass over the fact that we are all worshipers. I do this because there's a whole book assigned in the Old Testament to that subject, the book of Leviticus, and it is our purpose on some occasion to study that book in detail. On the other hand, the book mentions in chapter 3, the book of Numbers, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, and in verse 10, that there was this specific group of worshipers who were numbered of the children of Israel. It is also mentioned, if you will notice, in chapter 3 and verse 4, that Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord. Now, these were the first two sons of Aaron. But by this time, they had already died in a singular judgment of God upon them. What does this teach us? It teaches us that we may fall short in our spiritual life through wrong motives or through wrong priorities or emphasis or method. We may be falling short in our spiritual life. In other words, to be functioning in a spiritual manner or in the spiritual realm does not mean ipso facto, in other words, does not mean automatically that we are pleasing God. For example, we think of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament who were functioning and involved in religious or spiritual or Christian things, but with them, God was not well pleased. We think, for example, of Peter in his activity at Antioch in Syria, and we find that Peter was functioning in a spiritual realm, but he was not pleasing in his ministry to the Lord. And he had to be rebuked on that occasion by the Apostle Paul. So to function in the spiritual realm does not automatically mean that I am pleasing the Lord. My Christian worship, my Christian service, the whole of my spiritual life must be in such a manner as it is according to the Word of God, and with an eye single to His glory and not a self-pleasing or man-pleasing worship. Now, I just leave that thought with you and let the Holy Spirit expand upon it to your own heart and soul. All of us are worshipers, but let us make sure that our worship, our spiritual activity, is pleasing to the Lord whom we worship. These men offered strange fire. It was not according to the way which God had prescribed. Let us make sure that our worship and our spiritual activity is pleasing unto Him. Now, thirdly, we come in this section very quickly then to the workers. And in chapter 3 and verse 5, we find their appointment, the tribe of Levi. Notice in verse 6, that they may minister unto the priest. Verse 7, chapter 3, this is of Numbers, verse 7, the end of verse 7, to do the service of the tabernacle. The end of verse 8, to do the service of the tabernacle. Verse 10, instead of verse 10, that's Aaron's sons, but down to verse 12, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the end of verse 12, therefore the Levites shall be mine. So you notice here a specific tribe of the nation was set apart to the service or to the work of the Lord. In the Roman epistle, the Apostle Paul goes through the great doctrines of the Christian faith, and he comes to chapter 12 and he says, therefore, in view of all that God has done for you through the Lord Jesus Christ, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. Yield up to Him. Surrender. Give over to Him as a sacrifice yourselves. And then the rest of chapter 12 goes on after he speaks about being not conformed to this world, but rather being transformed. The whole rest of the chapter goes on to Christian service, functioning within the gifts that God has given to us. So each and every one of us as Christians is to give ourselves to God to the service of the Lord. Here, I want you to understand, a New Testament church is not one which revolves around the minister. A New Testament church is one in which every Christian understands that she is a minister. Every single one understands that he or she has a gift and a spiritual work to do to the glory of God. And as we are gathered here this morning, we are gathered to be instructed, to be motivated, to be directed, that we shall go out into this community in the days of this week to serve God. And this is exactly the very purpose of the Christian ministry. Now, the census of the Levites is mentioned in verses 14 to 22, and you will notice immediately in verse 15, number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers by their families, every male from a month old and upward shalt thou number them. Upon viable new birth from 1 month and upward. In other words, we have a lot of instant professions today, the day in which we're living, because we are not satisfied to let God work, and we want to try to do God's work, therefore we get a lot of professions. We get a lot of that which is not of God in the whole realm of Christendom today. And because of this, we get a lot of instant professions, and we can't find those who profess maybe even a month after their profession. Here, every child of Levi from 1 month old and upward was numbered. So upon viable new birth, if indeed there is not only a profession, but there seems to be actually a possession of spiritual life through faith in Jesus Christ, then all believers are potential workers for God. All of the Levites from 1 month old and upward of the males were available and were potential workers for God. Every Christian, as soon as he is born into God's family and give evidence of the fact indeed that he is a child of God, that the miraculous work of the new birth has taken place, he is potentially a worker for God. Immediately, he should be concerned about his spiritual gifts. He should think of his natural talents. He should think of how he may serve God. To paraphrase the words of another a few years ago, not seeking what the church can do for him, but what he can do for the church. Higher even than that, not seeking what God can continue to do for him, but how he can render himself back to God for the work of God. Having said that, the time of prime active service was between the years of 30 and 50. Notice, if you will, chapter 4 and verse 3. For there was a second census, if you will, of the Levites. Chapter 4 and verse 3. From 30 years old. Verse 2 says, take the sum. From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Everyone, when he becomes a believer, is potentially a worker, a servant, a minister. We must understand that God has saved us that we might serve him. But the time of prime spiritual service is as we reach spiritual maturity. The time of the active service of the Levites, although they were numbered from 1 month old, was 30 years to 50 years, the very prime of their physical life. And the prime time of your spiritual life is the time when you should be fully involved as a true servant of Jesus Christ. How long have you been saved? Have you understood, since you have been saved, what God wants you to do? Do you know this morning the service that God has given to you, by which you may glorify him and bring blessing and fulfillment to the generation amongst whom you live? You reach maximum spiritual effectiveness in the prime of your spiritual life. Think even of the Lord Jesus himself, which perhaps is instructional. The Lord Jesus spent some 30 years in private life. He spent 3 years at the age of 30, and for the next 3 years, in his public ministry. There was, even for the Savior, a period, shall I say, of private preparation, if you will, and then the years of public ministry. Now, having put that all together, two important lessons stand out to me, and I share them with you. Number one. Up until the time I am 30 years of age spiritually. Now that is only figurative for us now. I may only become a Christian when I am 70 years of age and have not many years physically yet to live. But as soon as I become a believer and begin to mature as a believer, up until the time that I actually get busy in the service of the Lord, I need to learn how to be an effective worker. I need to learn. 30 years of preparation says to me, Ward, you must learn how to serve God. When I was a young man in the military, God reached and saved my soul. Before I came out of the military, God had laid upon my heart that I should serve him. The 3 years that I was in the military, 2.5 years to be exact, after I was converted, was a period of time in which I was learning many things. The next period of time in my life, I went off to school and I learned how to study the Word of God. The greatest single advantage I got from systematic study at Bible school. How to become a student of the Word of God. For the next years of my life, I learned how to preach the Word of God through association with others who were preaching the Word of God. I learned how to visit in people's homes by association with those who were visiting with people in homes. I learned how to do camp work through association with those who were busy in camp work. There was a period of time in my life when I was learning how to do the service of God. I believe to some degree I am getting to the point in my life now when I can give the prime time of my spiritual life to the service of Jesus Christ. But the lesson that I have before you and has been true in my life, and I believe is a biblical lesson, is that we must learn to be effective workers for Jesus Christ. Do not lay aside the counsel of those who are older. Do not lay aside the spiritual experience of those who have gone before. Do not lay aside the sitting down of yourself and poring over the Word of God. Do not expect to take some scripture out of context. Open your mouth and I will fill it. And expect that God will give you a message without proper preparation. Learn how to make yourself an effective servant of Jesus Christ in whatever area and in whatever work God has called you to do. I call you to this, and I believe it will be greatly beneficial to you. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. You think of little Samuel, a boy who was prayed for before he was born. And it's wonderful when our children are prayed for before they're born. It's wonderful when our children are the result of prayerful concern before God. And then when he was given to his mother and father, Hannah and Elkanah, they brought him up when he was weaned from his mother to the temple, to the tabernacle, I should say, where he could be an apprentice in the sanctuary and temple tabernacle of God. Is it any wonder that in that context and in that movement in his life, God laid his hand upon this young man in a special way and called him to the work that God had for him? He was learning how to do the work of God. You think of Joshua, the man who brought the children of Israel into the promised land. And Joshua spent the previous 40 years of his life as an apprentice learner to Moses, the man whom God used to bring the children of Israel out of the land of bondage. Oh, I call upon you believers to sharpen your spiritual gift, to spend diligence in preparation so that you might be the most effective servant that God would have you to be. The second lesson I learn is this: that the Levites' effective period of work was some 20 years in the prime of their physical life, between 30 years and 50 years. I need to learn how to train others to be effective workers when I have reached some stature of spiritual maturity as a servant worker for God. In other words, the Levites had a period of time in which they were learning, a period of time in which they were working, and a period of time in which they were training others to do the work which they now no longer were involved in. And so when you are blessed of God to be an effective worker in Awana, a Sunday school teacher, thank God for them, they're downstairs this morning, youth work, visitation work in hospitals, whatever the ministry may be, pastoral work, sensitivity to the needs of others, teaching the Word of God, whatever that gift may be that God has given you and you have sensed God's blessing upon your ministry, then begin to gather men and women around you. Train them, teach them, guide them, impel them, move them into the work of Jesus Christ. So we must be careful as a young worker of thinking I know everything there is to know and do not need any experience and training and help. On the other hand, I must be careful at the other end of holding on too long, thinking that everything depends upon my ongoing as a worker for Jesus Christ. Take with you these two lessons this morning. 30 years, 50 years, prime time, training others. Why? That the work of God might continue from generation to generation. In local church ministry, I believe that the church must reach every generation of believers. I believe that we must continually be communicating the work of God from generation to generation if we are going to have an ongoing ministry until the Lord Jesus comes. Now, the census we have discussed. Their positions and charge is next before us in chapter 3, verse 23 to 39. Their positions and their charge, that is, their call to those tasks, were very specific. Let me just say one thing and leave it. For the Gershonites, you remember, they were to carry the curtains. For the Kohathites, they were to carry the vessels. For those of Merari, they were to carry the boards. The positions and charge of each worker was very specific And in that work, they were to give themselves totally to God. Oh, I just pray to God so much that every one of you will know the ministry that God has given you to do, that we shall be therefore happy, fulfilled, and able to effectively function for God in the very work that the living, risen Christ has given for me and for you to do. And may I say that this work of God just moves into your whole vocational life, those of you who are busy day by day in various vocations. You are not serving God at just a specific time in life when you come to church or when you go out to a neighborhood Bible class. Your ministry is through the whole context of your life, whether you're a draftsman at the boat company or a welder at the boat company, or whether you're an officer on a submarine or enlisted man on a submarine or one of the gals in the neighborhood or whatever you may be. Your ministry is outflowing through the very vocation in which God has called you. There is a place where you may serve Him effectively, reaching many, many people that are never reached from this pulpit week after week. Now the next thing I want you to notice very briefly again is their substitutionary nature. Chapter 3, verse 40. Chapter 3, verse 40. The Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the nation of the males of Israel from month old and upward, take the number of the names. Thou shalt take the Levites for me. I am the Lord. Thou shalt take the Levites for me instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel. Why did God have a claim on the firstborn sons of Israel? Because on the night when Israel was delivered from Egypt, God redeemed them. God saved them. By the blood of the Lamb, they were delivered from judgment and they belonged to God. But now instead of the firstborn sons of all of Egypt, Israel, He was taking the tribe of Levi, and the tribe of Levi was to function for God in the place of the firstborn sons of the Israelites. And there is a numbering here that follows through this section. There were 22,000 Levites. There were 22,273 firstborn sons of Israel, probably born since the Passover. 273 had to be redeemed with silver. In other words, there was no Levite to take the place of 273 firstborn sons. But generally speaking, the Levites were serving God instead of the firstborn sons. We are serving God on earth in the place of His firstborn Son, His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who served Him so well and completely for 33 years. I want you to get this thrilling fact, that the work of God is today being carried out through the Holy Spirit's dwelling within believers and using their redeemed humanity to do the work of God today, even as Jesus did the work of God when He was here on earth. What a thrilling thought. In the place of Jesus Christ on earth in the body is His church. And it is through His church that the work of God is ongoing today. Oh, catch a picture of it. Catch a picture of it. And see yourself in all the dignity, in all the value to God, as being here now, in the place of His Son, who was here some 2,000 years ago. God today is not limited as He was in that day, I say reverently, to His own Son, just in that little village area of Nazareth, and then in that little country of Israel. Oh, He is not limited. Oh, praise God! Praise God! In China, in Russia, wherever there are men today who need to hear of Jesus Christ through His church, His redeemed people, in place of His dear Son, incarnate God upon earth, is the church of Jesus Christ. I want you to catch the thrill of that. And I want you to be impelled by the importance of it. It is so important, just to give you an understanding that in the preamble to John's Gospel, John says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared him. And then he writes his letter. And he says, no man has seen God at any time. But he's, in effect, paraphrasing. But he says, God is seen through the church, through the gracious acts, through the love expressed by the people of God. They are not seeing Jesus Christ incarnate, but they are seeing God indwelling the church. Do they? Is this reality? Oh, friends, catch the joy of it and the thrill of it. You are functioning in the place of Jesus Christ on earth. Finally, their functioning, number, and duties are given to us in chapter 4, the whole of the chapter in more detail. We will just say one thing about it and leave it to your own personal meditation. The Levites did not originate the articles of the tabernacle. Their basic task was to set up the tabernacle and the articles of the tabernacle and to carry them from place to place, to disassemble them, reassemble them, to take care of that which had already been made and originated previously according to the plan of God. We do not originate Bible truth. We do not originate Bible doctrine. We dare not originate church dogma, church law, church regulation. But we are called upon to carry or communicate the truths of God from one generation to another, as I've already suggested. That was the main work of the Levites. To assemble, disassemble, carry, assemble, take care of the dwelling place of God, the things that specifically spoke of the presence of God. And that is your mission. Nothing short of that than to set before your generation the great truths embraced within the Word of God concerning a living God who has revealed himself in grace and love and made provision for the salvation of all mankind. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same things commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach these things to others also. Not originating, but communicating or carrying from one generation to another the very truths of God. Heavenly Father, we do seek to dedicate ourselves anew this morning as a congregation of believers, those of us who know you personally, unto yourself for your work, for your service. Gracious Father, by your Holy Spirit, reveal to each one of us that particular service by which we may glorify you and find the personal fulfillment that each of us needs and bring blessing to the generation amongst whom we live. Be glorified, our God, amongst thy people today. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.